my dad, John Dalheim, to give him his full name, John Morris Dalheim. And it has been said in my family that I am a mini John Dalheim. Earlier on, you can see we played the game Portrait Painter, and if me and my dad had our portrait painter, we would look quite similar, because we both have the same... As you see, we both have the same oval face that looks like an egg. We both have pasty white English skin, and we both have blue eyes. But if you look a little bit closer, we're alike in more than just our appearance. So I sent my sister and my mum a WhatsApp message, and I said to them, "How am I like Dad?" These were their many responses, and there were more. I just picked out a few. So we are both qualified teachers. We both like chocolate. Neither of us like being the centre of attention. Both of us like an evening snooze on the sofa. And we can both be found striking the same pose. So here we are, again. Yeah. Striking the same pose. And one more. We like to do the same thing. This one's a bit random. We both have the same jaw shape, and we can both create a piranha fish with our jaws. There we are. It's very random, but we can both create a piranha fish face. That is my final photo. So keep that. I'm going to be serious later on. I don't know if I can be serious with that picture. We also both have a similar eclectic taste in music, ranging from country to pop to French to soft jazz. Although I do draw the line at German pop, which my dad is desperately trying to get me to like. I'm not so convinced. Being more sensible, my mum then replied, and she said, "We're both loyal and we're both tenacious." And then my dad obviously stole my mum's phone, and he said, "Uns auch wir können beiden Deutsch sprechen." We both speak German. I would say, "Ein bisschen, just a little." You see, me and my dad, we are alike. Our memory verse that we did earlier on this morning came from Genesis 1:27, which said, "So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." It's a verse that we've probably heard many times before. We're all really familiar with the creation story. But this morning I want to tell us why it's important that we shouldn't just skip by this verse just because it's so familiar. Because in this one verse in Genesis 1:27, God repeats himself twice. He tells us we are created in his image twice. And I think when God tells us something twice, we need to stop and we need to understand why. You see, I look like my dad, and I have a similar personality and character trait to his own. But the person who I am today was not in my dad's control. He couldn't decide if I inherited his ginger hair. He couldn't decide if I was a boy or a girl. He didn't know that I would have his quiet and gentle manner. I might have turned out to be loud and obnoxious. But, you know, he loves me as I am. But he didn't create who I was going to be. God did. And when God created us in his own image, he had a choice. He was the creator. He could choose to make me and you however he pleased. But he chose to create us in his image, to look and think and be like him. And this thought should stop us in our tracks. To think that the creator of the world chose to make you and me like him. Why would he choose to do that? My first thought is actually probably quite negative in the sense that I would think, why on earth would God choose to make me like him? David in Psalm 8 considers the same thing. He says, "When I look at the night sky and see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you set in place, what are mere mortals that you should think about them? Human beings that you should care for them." If we are therefore to understand the great importance of this verse, and to understand why God repeatedly tells us that we are made in his image, then I think one of the first places to start is putting on the mindset of a creator. So a few days ago, I posed a question to the authors community on Instagram, and I asked them how much do they love the characters that they create. These are the best three answers that I got. One author said, "Yes, I love my characters. I even love the bad guys." Another author said, "I love them almost as much as my own children because I birthed them." Another author said, "We love them, but I wonder if that's because we created them." You see, creating a character is something that an author can't rush. If you create a really boring, mundane character, then your story is going to suffer and nobody is going to want to read it. Some authors will spend months and months filling out detailed character profiles. In these character profiles, they will write down the character's likes and dislikes, their pet peeves, their fears, their favourite colour, their shoe size, you name it, they will fill it out on a character profile. Some will even go to the extent of creating a calendar of events and plotting out their character's day-to-day existence. Why go to so much effort, you might be thinking, when a lot of this character development doesn't end up in the story? Well, I think the responses of the authors will answer this question. It's simply because they love their characters, because it is they who created them. And so if mankind, whose creation is imperfect, can create with such love and passion, then why should the creation of our Heavenly Father be any different? In Psalm 145, verse 17, the Message version puts it like this: "Everything God does is right. The trademark on all of his works is love." So why did God choose to create us in his own image? Well, it's a sign of his love for us and a reminder that we have been made by a loving creator. His trademark placed on us is love. In fact, the Message also celebrates God's craftsmanship in Psalm 139. And it says these words: "Oh yes, you shaped me first inside, then out. You formed me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God, you're breathtaking. Body and soul, I am marvellously made. I worship in adoration. What a creation. You know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made, bit by bit, how I was sculpted from nothing into something. Like an open book, you watched me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life all prepared before I'd even lived one day." And so we all know God loves us. That psalm alone just explains his love for us in his craftsmanship when he created us. But I wonder how many times do we stop and let this truth sink in, that God loves you? How many times do you brush it aside, not believing that it's for you, thinking it's for somebody else? God's love isn't some kind of superficial love based upon emotions. This is a deep-rooted love which began right at the beginning when God chose to create us in his own image, pouring his heart into each and every life, and showing us just how valued we really are. Just before I started speaking, we played Erica's Price is Right, and we judged the value of the objects on the screen by what we could see, by what they looked like, what fancy accessories they might have had, if they lit up, or if they had HD definition. This is exactly how the world judges how much something or someone is worth. It's very common for people to estimate their own personal value by looking at what they see in front of them, by looking at the people who surround them and how popular they are, looking at what they might do as a job, looking at how much money they have, looking at their achievements and even their physical appearance. And so it's probably not a surprise to hear that it is estimated across the world today that 85% of people have a negative view of their self-worth because they simply cannot meet the standard the world sets. 85% is a percentage that is way too high and one that we might very well find ourselves included in. You see, when we don't value ourselves, we end up looking a little bit like my little friends. A little bit worn down, a little bit battered. You might feel like your stuffing is coming out. When you don't value yourself, you might feel like you've been patched up several times. You might feel a little bit grubby. And you might feel like you're ready to be thrown in the bin. But although Teddy and Penguin look as if they should have probably been thrown out about 2 years ago, they are valued and they are loved and they are priceless to the little boys who love them. So you, even if you feel unvalued and you look like this, so you are valued and you are priceless to the one who created you. Psalm 145:17 said that we read a few minutes ago that God placed his trademark of love in you simply because you were created in his image. Author Jordan Rayner says, before God calls us to do a single thing, he calls us to be his child. Before we were given a task, we were given an identity. Children created in the image of God. You see, God doesn't value us like the world does. It's not about what we can or can't do or how much we can or can't give. Because when God made mankind, he simply loved us before he asked us to do anything else. In Matthew 22:39, Jesus says this, love your neighbour as yourself. And so when we've learned to value ourselves as God sees us, we shouldn't stop there. Jesus says to go on learning how to value others. Because if we know how to love and value ourselves, then we'll know how to love and value our neighbour as well. John Piper says, God made humans in his image so that the world could be filled with reflectors of God, images of God, 7 billion statues of God, so that nobody would miss the point of creation. Nobody, unless they are stone blind, could miss the point of humanity. Namely, God. Knowing, loving, showing God. We are reflectors of God because we've been made in his image. Now, sometimes when I think of being made in the image of God, it can be a little hard for us to relate to. But first of all, he's invisible and we don't know what he looks like. Even though we know he is our Heavenly Father, he created us out of love and he created us out of love. We can also connect God with Old Testament stories of judgment. But if you look at one verse before Genesis 1:27 and you go to verse 26, it says, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. We are reminded in this verse that we are not only created in the likeness of God, but in the image of the Son and the Spirit as well. We are reflectors of the whole Trinity. And we can all relate to Jesus. He is kind, patient, compassionate, gentle, speaker of truth, giver of life, forgiver, servant-hearted, and the list could go on. But because we are reflectors of God, all of the attributes that Jesus has, we can also reflect ourselves. Ephesians 4:24 says, "Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy." Our appreciation bingo that we did right at the very beginning is just a small example how we can show others the value of God. As you ticked off the boxes and you found people of all ages performing jobs which sometimes go unnoticed or unthanked, you were able to show your appreciation, even for the small things, just like Jesus would do. Jesus says in Mark 12:43-44 about the poor widow, he says, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." You see, in the world's eyes, the widow's offering was worthless. In the eyes of those watching and judging, they couldn't see any value in that that penny that she put in. But Jesus saw differently, and he honoured this offering, understanding that true value came from the woman's heart and not from the amount she could or could not give. And so with a world where 85% of people struggle with a negative view of themselves, the question is, what are we going to do about it to reflect the love of our Creator, Father, Son, and Spirit? Well, the first place to start is by focusing on ourselves and grasping just how loved and valued we really are, to put on the mindset of our Creator and understand just how much passion he put into making you in his image, which was his choice to do so. And even this morning, if it feels like you've had the stuffing knocked out of you, like Teddy, if you could understand how valued you are and that you have a Creator who thinks you are priceless, then you can then go on to love others like Jesus did, purposely seeking out those who need to understand the value their Creator has for them. And if we can establish these things in our lives, if we can understand our value and go on to teach others how valued they are, then that's when our homes and our churches and our communities will see a significant change. And to finish, I'm just going to sing a song which we know called Reckless Love. And just want you to listen to the words. We could also take up our offering as well. Just listen to the words, because it's just a reminder of how loved and how valued we are.